You lie. All men lie when they are afraid. Some tell many lies, some but a few. Some have only one great lie they tell so often that they almost come to believe it, though some small part of them will always know that it is still a lie, and that will show upon their faces. Hello and welcome to Two Champs and a Chump, a Game of Thrones LCG podcast founded in 2010 by Will Lentz, myself, Brett Zeiler, and Greg Atkinson. Major props go out to FFG for putting out a great game, George R. R. Martin for an amazing product, Card Game DB for our hosting, and Josh Woodward to the Creative Commons licensed music you hear today. Welcome to Season 3. Hello, and welcome back to another exciting episode of Two Champs and a Chomp. Granted, I don't know how exciting this episode is going to be, because this week we are actually just one chomp. It happened about this time last year while we were doing some of the regional stuff, and once again this year everyone else was busy, and I could not find extra co-hosts on such short notice. So you have just myself, Kenan, sometimes known as Will Lentz, as your host this evening for a rather shorter episode. I'm probably going to hit on a few of the regional stat updates and throw out an idea for a future podcast topic here. We haven't had any particular new and interesting news out of FFG that I've seen lately, so let's go ahead and dive into some of the regionals. Now, I was updating stats with what I could find available to me yesterday and last night. Right now, it looks like I have info for about 37 regional events, though a couple are European, most are U.S., and I think I may have Australia hiding out in here as well. It's looking like a very interesting end to the regional season here. I don't think one that folks would have predicted going into things. We haven't quite wrapped up the season yet, but let's take a look at where we are with, I think by the time this releases, one more week to go. It may be two more weeks. I'd have to double check the schedule. But for overall house turnout, we're looking at Stark and Targaryen both tied for the top spot with 144 appearances right now. Lannister in third place. I think that one is certainly going to surprise some folks with 121 appearances. Greyjoy in fourth with 105. Martell in fifth with a rather depressing compared to prior performance, 84 showings. Baratheon in sixth place, and possibly surprising a few folks, the neutral faction in seventh place with a single appearance that I have record of right now. So the houses there, I don't think anyone is going to be particularly surprised. Stark continues to remain at the top. They've always been a particularly strong house in turnout. And Targaryen, I think most folks going into regional season would have claimed to be the strongest, even post restricted list update, and it looks like they remain so. Lannister, however, was seen to be something of a dark horse and had really taken a turn for the worse lately, particularly with the rise of Targaryen, that's what I get for looking at the list while I speak, and how they tend to run counter to several of Lanny's themes, particularly decimating weenies and ambush and stand effects, fairly well obliterating Lannister's Neal control. Lannister, however, is in third place in overall turnout right now, so folks must still be wanting to give it a shot. Now, on the agenda front, for overall turnout, I think first place may still not surprise folks that have been listening to last year's regional stats and this year's so far. No Agenda is still in the number one spot with 147 appearances. Now, I would like to clarify, many, if not most, of those are going to actually be the character agendas. And actually, about halfway through this regional season, it did look like people started to return stats, marked down which character agenda, if any, people were playing. Unfortunately, for record-keeping purposes, it was a little awkward to go back and change how I was doing things now, since the earlier stats were not broken down that way. For consistency's sake, I decided it was best to continue logging them for the moment as no agenda all the way across the board. Hopefully, however, for Gen Con, Worlds, and next year's regional season and the like, we will be able to grab the character agendas right off the bat and plug that in to go. The number two agenda in appearances, however, is the Long Voyage at 133 appearances. It has made a massive rush up through the regional season here, and I think it may be kind of surprising to see it behind only by a small fraction of No Agenda. Third place is House of Dreams, which saw a strong showing at the beginning of the regional season and has tapered off some with the rise of Long Voyage, but still has enough appearances to ride out third place at 99 showings. Knights of the Hollow Hill, an agenda that many folks think or thought not too long ago may need to be added to the restricted list, is only showing up in fourth place right now at 82 appearances. And the Maester's Path, which saw such a dominance over the last couple years, is way down in fifth place with only 60 appearances. Yeah, that's right. The last top dog now has less than half of the appearances of the Long Voyage. Right behind that is going to be Power Behind the Throne at 54 appearances, which is actually a pretty interesting one. You may have heard us speak before on the show about card advantage agendas versus challenge-based agendas versus resource agendas and the like, and challenge agendas generally tend to be lower on the scale. Power Behind the Throne this year, however, is the highest ranking of them in turnout at 54. Dropping off sharply behind that, Black Sails at 36, and on down the list from there. The restricted list, in general, turnout right now may surprise a few folks at the most populous restricted card. That will actually be the Maester's Path, despite the agenda itself being down considerably from where it had been previously. It is a restricted card, and the number of people playing it has pushed it to the top of the restricted list. If you're looking at these updates to the spreadsheet while you're listening to the show, you'll note that the Maester's Path has 43 appearances in the restricted tally versus 60 in the agenda tally, and unfortunately that is due to incomplete restricted data for several regionals. The second place restricted card in appearances is Search and Detain, which after its continued populace, even after being restricted, it probably surprises a few people at 41 appearances. Fear of Winter, still a strong contender at the restricted slot with 39 appearances, and still probably my most hated card in the game. Mira Reed, the card that I personally figured would have been at the top of that list, because she is bonkers good, is at 36, and the Viper's Bannerman round out the top five at 34 appearances. No Restricted and Castellan are still in the 30s there, 33 and 31 respectively, and the list drops off after that. So, what are we seeing at the moment? Probably nothing super surprising. A couple eyebrow raises, but nothing that's just going to blow folks out of the water. What happens, however, if we turn to the top X tables? Now, this is going to be placement.
Unfortunately, many regionals have different cutoffs for events. Some do top 16, some do top 4, some do top 8. So there is some variance here. I went with the top cut of every event versus paring them all down to the lowest common denominator. So when we take a look at how things shake out there, Targaryen is clearly in the top this time with 57 top X appearances. That one, as I said before, post-restricted list, probably not that big of a surprise to anyone. In the number two slot at 53 appearances is going to be Greyjoy, which I think as the season has gone on, particularly with the Long Voyage gaining more and more traction, Greyjoy has become more and more popular. And as a house that was hit almost not at all by the restricted list update a few months ago, they're looking pretty good right now. Stark is in third with 43 appearances, so a fairly good drop there, especially considering that they were tied for Targaryen in total turnout. Martell, however, is going to bring up the fourth spot, so it's moved up a tiny bit in placement from overall turnout with 39. Lannister in fifth place with 37, not as happy a showing as their turnout numbers. And Baratheon in last place out of top X placement, just like they are out of regular houses in overall turnout. Unfortunately, it looks like the only neutral deck that I had record of did not have a top finish. On the agenda front, so news to no one who has been paying attention this regional season, the top X placing agenda is the Long Voyage with 59 appearances. That is a substantial margin over the next agenda, here in quotes, being no agenda with 39 appearances. So almost a third again as many appearances. Yes, I'm rounding there for sure. But the no agenda, once again, many of those are going to be several different character agendas, so that may make things look a little bit funnier. House of Dreams comes up next in third with 32. Maesters with 28 appearances, and rounding out the top five, 26 for Knights of the Hollow Hill. Things drop off below 20s after that. Again, the top list looking very similar to the way that it has over the last few weeks to a month here. Long Voyage continues to just dominate and define the metagame right now. If we move down to restricted cards, however, things do get shaken up a little bit. Now, again, I don't have restricted information for many regionals so far for the top X. Unfortunately, about the first half of this regional season, no one was reporting that, or at least marking it down in a format where I was able to piece it together. Out of the latter half of the year, the info that we do have available, however, the Viper's Bannerman jumps to the top of the list with 12 top X appearances. Fear of Winter in second place, Maester's Path in third, 11 and 9 respectively. Long Lances in eighth, probably not a big surprise to folks. That card is just absurdly powerful, and while Hatchling's Feast is awfully tempting for a lot of Targ decks, I think most of the ones that I personally would build were I to play Targ more often than I do, which is rarely, would probably lean towards Long Lances and the just frankly absurd number of shenanigans it pulls off. Fifth place, however, probably a little bit of a surprise to some folks, Fury of the Kraken with 7 appearances. Now, the Fury one is going to seem surprising at first glance because most of the Fury plots, by and large, have been written off by the competitive player base ever since they were added to the restricted list. Fury of the Kraken, on the other hand, is seeing a resurgence now due, number one, to Greyjoy's returning popularity, and number two, to the Long Voyage's climb to power. Long Voyage, of course, requiring an 85-card deck, meaning that if you play a restricted card that goes in your draw deck, you are considerably, or rather somewhat, once you account for the additional draw, less likely to see it. And, of course, the vagaries of random chance means there may be a game you'll hit on where they're all clumped at the bottom. Now, playing a restricted card in your plot deck, however, frees up that possibility from ever happening at all, as you can play that on command. Fear of the Kraken, of course, also being a military battle plot, turns on some other very strong effects like To Be a Kraken, and does hit Stark, which, as you've seen, is tied for the most populous house in turnout. So Fury of the Kraken, surprising at first glance, but I think a solid meta call for those that are playing it. So, how do things look if we were to just kind of compare numbers out of the top X? Not a big change since the last time. Just for those kind of keeping track, out of the overall top appearances for agendas, Long Voyage has a full 22% of all of the top agendas. Almost a quarter of the top field all playing the Long Voyage. And again, that's kind of only picked up steam after the first few weeks to a month of regional season. So it has really made a push there. No Agenda and House of Dreams then at 15 and 12% account for essentially the other top half. Everything else trailing behind that. Maester's looking kind of sad in my little pie chart here at only 11% of the top X field right now. Well, let's go ahead and jump over to the winners list as well with these updates. We've got a new little look here at the house stack. We still have Targaryen in first place with 11 appearances. Again, not a surprise, holding strong in turnout placement and finish. But we do have a surprise here in second place. Targaryen is followed by Baratheon at 9 appearances. So Baratheon makes a sudden and drastic jump from the bottom of the barrel, both in turnout and top X finishes, to grab the second most populated wins that I have available. Now, this kind of kicked off with the Bruno TLV Bera Rush, if you will. I'm not sure I ever saw that he came up with a sweet name for it, so I'm going to call it Big Green for the moment. And Big Green inspired a lot of competitors. I know also competitors and copycats, that is. And I also know our very own Greg Atkinson, Dobler, piloted Baratheon at our regional, this time out of Black Sails, and I have definitely seen some other Black Sails decks floating around. So, you know, maybe they are more competitive than the field at large thinks. Maybe it's all the driver. Third place is going to be Stark with 6 appearances, Lannister at 5, so they moved back up a little bit. Greyjoy also tied with 5 appearances, and Martell tied with 5 appearances. Well, never mind. Lannister didn't move up that much. It looks like Excel just sorted it out, so it was at the top of the list for some reason. And that's not alphabetical either, so I'm not sure what criterion it used. But regardless, things break down fairly decent as far as spread goes between the houses. Things are weighted a little heavier to Targaryen than maybe I would ideally dream for, but this is probably a better spread than we have seen other years. If we look at agendas that have won, however, we still have that very, very large gap for the Long Voyage. Long Voyage is leading the pack by leaps, bounds, hopscotches, pole vaults, hovercrafts, whatever you want to throw at this, with 19 appearances. The next closest, brace yourselves for this one, folks, No Agenda, again, probably character agendas, with 4 wins. Maesters, Knights of the Hollow Hill, and Black Sails pulling up behind that, all tied with 3 wins. Yes, that's right. The once supremely dominant Maesters path has dropped to third place, a tie for fifth, depending on how you want to look at this, with only 3 wins. 3 versus 19. There you have it, folks. If you want to win an event right now, play The Long Voyage, your odds are beyond substantially better than anything else right now. When we move to the restricted cards, I have even less restricted information available for the winning decks, unfortunately. So if you know some of those, be sure to get a hold of me and so we can fill this in. Right now, the leading restricted appearance in the winner's bracket is going to be Fury of the Kraken with two appearances. Everything else from Search and Detain, Castellan, and the like, all the way down through Burning on the Sand, all have one appearance each, which at least is interesting that there's a wide variety of restricted cards winning out of the information that I have available to me. Now, if we were to take a look at some of these percentages, just so you know, the Long Voyage has won 46% of all regionals I have information for, nearly half of all the regionals. The next one with no agenda at 10%, just to give you, again, a different little look at how that stacks up. And the three tied one agendas, Maesters, Knights of Hollow Hill, and Black Sails, all tied with 7%. 21 total between those agendas versus the 46 for the Long Voyage. In fact, even if you add in no agenda, the rest of the top five basically here are still only going to add up to 31, less than the number one agenda appearance. So there you have it, folks. An update on the regional stats. I'll try to remember to get the updated Excel spreadsheets uploaded to Google Docs so that I can post those for folks to take a look at while they listen to this week's show. And thanks for checking it out. Now, I wanted to kick around an idea for some folks that I'm stealing from a Magic the Gathering show that I listen to, Popper to the People. Some great guys over there. It's all about the Popper format, which is all commons. It's largely played online through MTGO, and it is dirt cheap, let me tell you. But it's a blast. But they have a project that they do that they've taken up over the last few months that they're calling Brew of the Month, where they kind of get a deck idea together, they work through it on the show, they construct it, they put the deck list out for folks, and then for the next month, the community weighs in, helps play test, offers tweaks, and they have a communal thread going in their forums there for that brew, folks' thoughts on it, play experience, and kind of gives people a chance to kind of hash that out and see where things are going. I think it's a really interesting idea. Octagon is continuing to get sharper and sharper, gives folks an easy way to throw a deck together and test it out in many revisions. And of course, welcome to try things out in paper, as I normally prefer to play. But I thought that might be something kind of fun for Two Champs and a Chump to tackle. Now, we may not do it as Brew of the Month. It may have to be something more like Brew of the Quarter, because there's just an awful lot going on for all of us, and I'm sure all of you, so that bit of extra time could probably be useful. But I wanted to go ahead and get the idea out there. Go ahead, shoot us a line at twochampsonechump@gmail.com or over on the Facebook page, facebook.com/twochampsonechump. Those are, of course, the digits. You can hit us up on Twitter in the same place, and of course, the comment thread when I post this episode on CardGameDB. So check things out. Kind of think about it. If you think it sounds like a good idea, let me know. If you've got an idea for a deck, go ahead and let me know. Now, of course, we want to build it on the air, so don't send a completed list. But if you have a certain theme or an interaction, synergy, or combo between a handful of cards, feel free to go ahead and send that in, and over the next couple weeks we'll kind of take a look at things and hopefully pick one out that we could kick off the project with. So, thanks for listening, guys. We're going to hit on a very quick props and slops this week. I think I'm just going to prop Mr. Brett Zeiler, who will be having their wedding ceremony, to Mrs. Alicia Zeiler. Man, that sounds weird to say. This Sunday. So that's why he wasn't on this week's episode. He was doing some last-minute preparations for that stuff. So props to both of you good folks. And I'm also going to say the Sandman Slim series continues to be awfully entertaining. I'm on book 4 now, which is the last one I have. After that, I'll have to go take a look and see if there are any more out right now. I have a bad feeling I'm going to discover that's all there is, and I'm going to be, once again, stuck waiting for more books in a series. So thanks for listening, guys. We'll catch you next week for, hopefully, a double dose of your favorite hosts to make up for them not being here. Danger Zone.